We ask, Lord, that you give rest to those who died this week in Nice, and that you heal the wounded and bless those who care for them, and that you would comfort all who mourn, and that you would give to us stout hearts to face the days ahead and roll down your justice upon us all, that we might have peace. Amen. It seems that every Sunday for the last month we've said prayers for one group of folk or another whose lives have been upended by acts of violence, each different in their own way, and yet all ending the same. Many have said, well, I'm tired of doing this. I echo that, and yet it is what we do as people of God to pray, to come together in our confusion and grief. The words of the prophet today are loud. They ring in my ears. From the book of the prophet Amos, he says, "The end has come upon my people." Yeah, sure feels it. "The songs of the temple shall become wailings, says the Lord God. The dead bodies shall be many, cast out in every place. Hear this, you that trample on the needy and bring ruin to the poor of the land. Your feasts will be turned into mourning, and your songs into lamentations. I will bring sackcloth upon all loins. I will make it like the mourning for an only son, and the end of it like a bitter day. The time is surely coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread or of thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east, and they shall run to and fro seeking the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it." We seek peace, but there's no peace to be found. Every day, every week, our hearts are laid bare and we cry out, well, how long? How long? When will it stop? Well, deep down we probably know this. It's not going to. It's not going to stop. It's not going to get any better, at least not before it gets worse. I'd like to be wrong, but I see no evidence to the contrary. And the political rhetoric that is buzzing around the edges of the terror of our days, frankly, is insulting. Did you read the psalm? I know you did. I heard you. Whoa. Read that a lot. In fact, I'd like you to read that every day during the two political conventions as they take place. Because it applies to everybody out. You boast of wickedness. You plot ruin. Your tongue is like a sharpened razor. You love evil more than good and lying more than speaking the truth. And they say the Bible is out of date. Sad days. Sad days in which we live. And it is like, it's like we run for cover. We just run to get away from it all. It's like when you walk into a room and you flip the light on, you know, and everything that's not supposed to be there runs away. You've seen that in somebody else's house where there's roaches and stuff. Not in your house, but, I mean. And it seems that's what's happening. And we run away from the light out of fear instead of running toward it. In the midst of the tragedy and the sadness of this week, there's been some good also. Every time our vestry gathers, we begin with a devotion, and then we ask for sharing a good news. It's easy to forget that there's good news out there, and there's some good news to share this week. Yesterday, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of us gathered for the ordination and consecration of our new bishop, the Right Reverend Daniel Gutierrez. And what a day it was. I tell you, Episcopalians know how to do worship. And pulled all the stops yesterday. As part of this weekend of celebration, we've been blessed to have in our presence as the Diocese of Pennsylvania our presiding bishop, Michael Curry. Bishop Curry is a gift of God to the Episcopal Church. If you have not had the opportunity to read, or better yet, to hear him, just go online. He's all over the place. Listen to him pray for the church and for the world, and hear the wisdom and the joy that comes from him. The clergy of the diocese had the pleasure of spending half of the day on Friday with him. He says in these difficult days, as the church, we have a primary task. As individuals in the church, we have a primary task. And he says it is to reclaim the depth of our heritage. And you might think, well, what's that going to do about the problems of the world? And he said that we need to be grounded in something, in anything, or else we'll just be scattered on the winds. We have a rich tradition as God's people, and we need to reclaim the depths of that heritage. He reminded us of a great hymn, the words penned by Harry Emerson Fosdick, "From the fears that long have bound us, free our hearts to faith and praise. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the living of these days. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the facing of this hour." Without our faith, without our groundedness in something, we are lost. And he said, Don't expect the church to carry your faith for you. But do your own lifting and carry it with you. Because you can't rely upon the institution to be there for you to do your bidding or to do your work. You need to be deeply rooted in your faith to meet the days ahead. Grant to us wisdom and courage for the living of these days. He says the institutional church, we all know this, is changing rapidly. In fact, the church as an institution is probably near gone. But the church as a movement is just getting warmed up. And he says, we have a long road ahead as the church of God. And it's not for the weak-hearted. And there's only one way to strengthen the heart, and that is to reclaim the depth of our heritage and to be deeply rooted in God. And that's why we come to church. That's why we are here. And he says, what we need to do, and this is preaching to the choir, because we're here and we know this, but we need to encourage other people to put their backsides in the pew. Not every now and then, not when it's convenient, not when we don't have anything better to do, but to put ourselves in here. Not that that's all that the church is about being here. But, you know, if we don't start from somewhere, we're not going to go anywhere. That's me, not the presiding bishop, so don't blame him for that. We all need to be here. For if we aren't here for one another, who is going to be here for us? Who is going to be here? The presiding bishop is fond of talking about the Jesus movement. Now, that language is uncomfortable for some of us because we think that's for folks who are a bit more evangelical or kind of happy-clappy folks or... We can be a little happy-clappy in the Episcopal Church if we want to. We need to. There's nothing new about being a part of the Jesus movement. I mean, Jesus is part of the deal here. You know, I mean, we are Christian. Doesn't mean we have to ram Jesus down people's throat, but... to be followers of that way, the way in which the first followers were, and that became a powerful movement that changed the world for a time. As we read the letters of Paul, we're reminded of how radical this movement was. Because Jew and Greek and male and female were told, you're all equal. You're all welcome. You're all a part of this movement. And that's what the church said, just as it was becoming the church, until it became an institution. And then it went to hell in a handbasket. Because we began to say who was a member of that institution and who wasn't. And we're still doing that today. The presiding bishop was asked, he was the bishop of North Carolina for 15 years before becoming the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church. And he was asked what he thought about the goings-on in North Carolina. And he said, Now, if you don't know this, if you just woke up and never heard of the presiding bishop, he happens to be African American, and he said, "I don't believe after all these years we're still talking bathrooms." And who can use them? It's a powerful movement, this Jesus movement. And we need to be ready to respond to those people that are desperate. And we need one another. You know, when we face tragic events in our own lives, when we experience illness and death, the first thing we do is gather together, just to be together. And the world needs that, and our nation needs that, and we as the church need that. We've been talking a lot in various committees, work groups in the church about who we are and what in the world God might be calling us to be and do. And it's becoming clear to most of us that it has little to do with what we've been in the past. It's not that what we have been in the past, that there was anything wrong with that. It was good. And it served us well, but it's gone. It's over. God's much more interested in where we're going than where we've been. And from the time, really going back to the time of the fire, one of the things that became a kind of a slogan, a call, was that we welcome all people. You've heard that, right? We welcome all people. Well, that's a good saying. It's a good thought that we, you know, because the opposite isn't very appealing. We run away all people. We chase off all people. We hate all people. No, we welcome all people. But in light of the events in our world, in light of what I heard from the presiding bishop, this notion of welcoming just pales. It doesn't stack up against what we need today. You know, that saying isn't new to Trinity. We stole it from the Episcopal Church. Just said it a little differently. All over the country, there's these little signs with the Episcopal shield that says, "The Episcopal Church welcomes you." Okay, that's nice. But we can't wait for the broken and destitute, for the desolate and the downtrodden to stumble into our church to welcome them. We need to go out and find them and take them to a place of safety. And perhaps that's here. Perhaps it's somewhere else. Perhaps it's just being with them along the road. But going out, that's what we need to do. Last week, I spoke about the parable of the Good Samaritan. And a lot of people this week picked up one piece of that, where I spoke about, in order to find those people that are beaten and left for half dead along the road, we have to actually go down the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. We need to come down off the holy hill in which we tend to hang out, and we need to go down places that are risky, that are out of our comfort zone. We need to make our way along those roads, because that's where people are cast aside. This week, the Episcopal Church remembered the life of former presiding bishop Edmund Browning, who died on Tuesday. He was presiding bishop of the church for 12 years and led us through some turbulent times, where we began to wrestle with, in meaningful ways, with women in ordained leadership, the Bishop Browning ordained the first female bishop in our church, Barbara Harris, who was present yesterday at the consecration of our new bishop. She's another gift of God to the church. Ed Browning once said, "There are no outcasts in the Episcopal Church." No outcasts. And his words have continued to echo. And every time we move a little bit in the area of justice and human rights, there's a spirit of Ed Browning that carries on. Ed was also fond of saying the church does a fairly decent job of pulling people out of the river of despair. He said, what we don't do is go upstream and stop people from throwing folk into the water. And that's what we're called to do, to go upstream and go down the hill and go wherever it is God's people are in need and want. In yesterday's sermon at the consecration of our new bishop, his bishop, the bishop of the Diocese of Rio Grande, from where Daniel comes, from where he comes, the bishop says that we have to move beyond welcoming God's people. Welcoming is not enough. We need to acknowledge them, and we need to embrace them. Welcome all people. Acknowledge all people. Love all people. Embrace all the people of God. That's our future as the church. God of infinite mercy, we pray for our church and our world. We pray for those who are victimized. We pray for those who have died. Remember them and remember us according to the favor that you bear for your people. Comfort us who mourn. Give strength to us who are wounded. Deliver those whose hearts are hardened by hatred. And grant to us all understanding and your persevering love. For your mercy's sake, amen.